Welcome back, everyone. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast, and this is officially our last episode of the 2025 calendar year. Very exciting. There's been a lot that's happened this year, and honestly, I wanted to get this done and recorded maybe a couple days ago, but I had the really good fortune, right, of having some apparently bad Thai food and going through a bout of probably the most aggressive food poisoning I think I've ever had in my life. So without getting into too much of the details for you guys, I was laid up in bed for about a day and a half, you know, if you count the night of, and then all through the next day. So there's lots of clear fluids and Ritz crackers and some soup and everything. And yeah, I mean, at any rate, like, this is probably one of my favorite ways to kind of wrap things up for the year. And I've done this every year since I started the podcast, I'm pretty sure. So we're going on 5.5, like June of next year, we're about 6 months out. June of next year will be 6 years, which is absolutely crazy that we are closer than not to a decade of prepared mindset. And certainly I want to make sure I say, you know, thank you to all of you guys who are listening right now to this. If you're an audience member, if you subscribe, and if you haven't, you know, please take a moment to pause this recording and go hit the subscribe button, because those numbers are important. They drive a lot of things in terms of, you know, sponsors and engagement and just all kinds of stuff, you know. And I'm always really, really impressed and excited when people reach out and have, you know, reaffirming and positive things to share, as well as, you know, sometimes criticisms. I apparently do have some crutch words and crutch phrases I use. Some people really don't like that I do intros like this before I get into the meat of the discussion. But I haven't stopped doing that. So obviously that's one I didn't take, you know. Feedback and criticism are always good things. That's something I've tried to use in my personal growth and training and development growth and stuff. You don't always have to take the feedback. You should hear feedback, right? But you don't always have to take it and apply it. But nonetheless, getting back to the core subject of today's recording, today's episode, if you will, this is our end of year review discussion. So what I'm going to try and do here is go through the calendar year for 2025. I have some notes. I did take some very high level notes, kind of went month by month almost, and just picked out a couple high level items on each one. And what I'll end up doing is speaking on those. And then at the end, there's a couple like overall points, and I might get off on some tangents and stuff here, because that's just how my brain works. So before I do that, though, I do want to make sure that I take the opportunity to say thank you to our presenting sponsors and our partners here at Prepared Mindset that make all of this possible for the weekly discussions, the monthly sit reps. If you guys have been following us for any amount of time, you know we have a YouTube page as well. So certainly big supporters of the YouTube channel, either through sending out gear, sending out products and things to review, to talk about, to do pros and cons on, right? If you guys aren't aware, go over to YouTube, check out Prepared Mindset. That's our YouTube channel. Same logo. That's where I drop long form videos. It's usually at least 10 minutes. Some of them have gotten up to like 45 or longer, just depending on what it is. And that's, you know, basically the place where we drop the most information and the most content and stuff. Whether it's simple long form discussions on different types of rifles, night vision, we do a lot of night vision stuff, or I don't know, anything in between, really. The YouTube channel is where we drop that. We have shorts that go up pretty regularly as well. Also have the Instagram. So if you guys are looking to maximize your consumption of our content, please consider checking out any of those avenues. We also do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. You can check that out if you're looking for a way to support us financially. Every little bit helps, and I do try to create, you know, at least engaging content to go up on there to give back to you guys. I mean, if you feel so inclined to financially support me, I want to make sure I make it worth your dollar. It's not a super expensive endeavor, but just something, it does help, you know, these costs and things that come month to month, and then, you know, every couple of years having to replace some equipment and stuff like that. Really appreciate the support from all of you guys over the last 5.5 years as we continue to grow and develop what Prepared Mindset is. But yes, we do have some great, great sponsors and great partners that make these episodes possible. You know, that we work with, right? They give feedback. A couple of them have even been on the pod as guests to not only share their the products, right, but to share their expertise and their knowledge firsthand in the industry, because anyone can talk about a product, right? That's, you see people at trade shows and stuff, they do that. It's just memorized regurgitation, but real industry experts, those are the people you want to be working with, because they're going to steer you in the right direction, not just toward a specific product. And I want to say thank you to those partners. And I certainly have to start with the friends over at Custom Night Vision. You guys, they are truly experts in the field of night vision. Had several conversations with them, and two with Kevin from Custom Night Vision. One of them, I think, was just a month ago. But you guys can head over to their website, which is customnightvision.com, and you can check out everything that they have going on, everything that they have available there, which, to be frank, is quite a lot. If you have questions, and I'm sure most of you guys do, there is a chat function. It's built into the lower right-hand corner of the website, so you can reach out directly, or you can call a shop phone, and you can talk to Kevin or Trevor or even Ben and ask them your questions. And that stuff, hey man, you know, I'm looking at green phosphor versus white phosphor. Which one's going to help me out? Because it's something people get a lot of heartburn over, and they really don't want to feel like after spending all that money that they got, a sour deal because they went green instead of white. They can give you the pros, they can give you the cons and the truth behind that stuff, as well as, you know, hey, single tube versus dual tube. What housing should I really be looking at? That's another thing that people have tons of questions on. And really it comes down to the features that you want, whether that's manual gain or not. Do you need an onboard illuminator or not? Do you really need duals, or do you want to build something where you can bridge together a single tube and a thermal? The team at Custom is going to take great care of you. They're going to answer those questions. They truly do, guys, want to make sure that they give you the most transparent buying experience possible. And I think that's why they have become one of the largest night vision companies in the country. And I don't think that's a stretch to say that, right? Again, the website is customnightvision.com. Go check it out. Poke around, right? They carry the full line of Team Wendy helmets at, I will almost go as far as saying, I guarantee the best price you're going to find them on the internet. They do apply things like a 28% discount automatically. And if it's not automatically, they list the discount code in the item description. So if you're looking to get into a lid, customnightvision.com, check out the helmet section. They have ballistic and bump helmets from Team Wendy. They have lights, lasers, obviously night vision, and a whole ton more. Head on over to customnightvision.com today. Support those guys. Let them know that Austin from Prepared Mindset sent you guys over, and they're going to take fantastic care of you. So a huge thank you. I can't say enough thank yous to the whole team over at Custom for their support over the last several years here. Great, great partner, and something I look forward to for, you know, the year to come, obviously, working with them. And actually, I don't have anything else past that. But great dudes there. I do highly recommend you guys go check them out. I was a customer before I ever started working with them. But also want to say thank you to the team over at Harrington Arms, you guys, down in Ohio. They make a bunch of really cool products, from compensators to magwells to placards. All kinds of stuff, really. And their website, if you should so choose to go check out what they got going on, is harringtonarms.com. And Jake from Harrington has actually been on the podcast a handful of times talking about training, talking about shooting with compensators, the pros and cons, because there's, you know, so many myths out there to what a compensator will or won't do for you in terms of reliability and performance. And we had some great discussions on that. And I certainly have spent the last several months shooting with a compensator on my Glock 45. With a compensator provided by Harrington specifically, right, to see, hey, does this really give me the benefits that it has advertised? Do I really feel like I'm losing reliability and things? And certainly had some good and some bad, and there's just a learning curve to it. I wouldn't say that it's something I wouldn't recommend. I would definitely say, hey, before you sit there and just poo-poo it on the internet, check out a Harrington Arms compensator. They do a heck of a lot for you, and I think they're a fantastic product. So again, head over to harringtonarms.com. Check out all the good stuff they got going on, including their up-and-coming hacker system that should be released in Q1 of 2026. So thank you to the team over at Harrington Arms, and obviously at Custom Night Vision. Their support here is, it's paramount to the success of the podcast. But I know if I don't get to these things, if I don't get into the meat of the discussion soon, it's going to upset some of you guys. You're going to get a ton of heartburn, because I like to say thank you to you guys as an audience and the people that make this possible. So I guess we'll just get into it, right? So 2025, the past 12 months, right? I think, we try not to reflect too much on time gone by. I think living in the past is something that can be kind of dangerous, you know, for like your mental health to some degree, for, you know, stifling your forward look, and you can question yourself. You know, really, I think it's something where if you spend too much time reflecting on where you've been. You're not spending enough time looking on where you're going. That's certainly been true for me this year, and something that I'm committing myself to as I hit 2026. That's not like a new year, new me thing. That's just an overall like life outlook thing, is that I need to spend more time looking at my future and stop, you know, focusing on what's done, right? Because what's done is done, and we can't undo the past. We don't have a time machine. We can't change anything for good or for bad or whatever, right? And I think when we look back at the turn of the calendar last year, we're reminded of the terrorist attack that took place in New Orleans, right? And just the senseless loss of life. And certainly that's an issue that we are facing more and more now in the continental United States. I think that with every, and this is just my own personal belief, I don't have like numbers and metrics and all that stuff like right in front of me right now to back this up as I'm saying this to you guys. But when we look at 2025 and we look at what's been covered in the media, certainly with the changes of the presidential office, right, from the end of the Biden administration into what is essentially the first year of the Trump presidency, albeit of his second term, we've seen the effects of open borders. We've seen, you know, the impacts of unchecked immigration into the United States in areas specifically like Minnesota, where I think it was Nick Shirley was the journalist that just blew open this fraud issue in Minnesota, where Ilhan Omar is supporting the Somali population there. And they have all these Somali daycare centers taking millions and millions in government money and not actually having any children, you know, in those childcare centers. Somebody shared a meme that the NFL quarterback Philip Rivers, who is, I don't say famous, but well known for having a lot of kids, and he's got like 12 kids or something. Jokes were made that's why he came back to play for the Colts this year, is because his guaranteed 5-year of benefits by the players union was running out, and he needed to maintain those, which is not true. I'm sure it's not true, but just the jokes that Philip Rivers has more kids than all of the Minnesota Somali daycare centers. And I'm not anti-immigrant. I'm not anti-immigration. My family is an immigrant family from Mexico, and certainly worked their way up from nothing, picking vegetables and things like that, to being successful entrepreneurs and business owners, right? So I know the value and the importance of immigration. I'll do it legally, right? But what I'm getting at is that we're seeing more attacks. We're seeing, we've seen so much just senseless loss of life and attacks across our country because of these illegal immigrants, basically. They were just allowed into the country to overstay visas. They're allowed in without going through the proper port of entry, just attacking women and children, attacking innocent people on the streets. We had National Guard members in D.C. who were attacked and killed by immigrants. And we've essentially, I think, gotten to the point now where we all need to escalate and elevate our individual level of awareness and preparedness based off of all of these current happenings and current ongoings, because the world is, as a whole, is not a safe place, but our country has only been made less safe by the actions of, I'll say, the Biden administration and their border policies. Now, what makes things even worse now, as we've seen over the last year, is we do have a much harsher stance taken by ICE, taken by this administration on immigration, and we have lunatics in this country who are actually protesting this. It's become very in vogue to protest against ICE, to physically engage in harassment or just physical assault, I guess, on ICE agents, because politically speaking, you don't agree with what they're doing. And you know what? Like, here's the thing. I'm all for immigration if you do it legally. What's happening is that we're actually seeing illegal immigrants finally removed from this country. And that it's a huge cleanup effort. Everyone wants to say, oh, this is awful. You're taking away people's dreams. And it's like, no one said you couldn't come here. You just have to do it legally. And what we're ignoring is the violent criminals that were being let in. It's not just families chasing the American way of life. That's a lie. Military age males being led into this country. We know for a fact we have cells of terrorists in this country that the FBI and other agencies have been working. There was a set of arrests or a group of arrests made here in Dearborn, Michigan, right? Very recently, I believe around Halloween and whatnot, where there was planned mass casualty attacks. And this is stuff that you can't ignore this stuff. It's not going to go away on its own. So I think that's been a like recurring theme for, you know, the last three quarters of 2025, is that this is the reality of our country, and it's becoming more and more obvious that the damage has been done, and we need to band together as a country to help address this. But, and we'll get back to that, I'm sure. Like, I know we're just a little bit into this discussion, and I certainly do want to go through what's gone on for the year for us, for me, here at Prepared Mindset. And I just felt that it was really appropriate that we start with that, because that was the first two or three episodes of the year really were the sit rep discussion, talking about the attacks, right? And then my conversation that I had with Joe Fasanella, talking about the reality of terrorism around the world, but also more specifically here in the United States, and the very real threat it poses and the concerns that we should all have. And actually, when I looked at the numbers, that was our most highly listened to, highly rated, highly reviewed episode of the entire year. It was like the first or second episode of the whole year. That's how important this is, and that shows me that you guys understand and know that stuff too. My hope is that it gets better, not worse, but only time will tell us that. But yeah, okay, so January 2025, big thing for Prepared Mindset was breaking 1,000 on YouTube. So jumping even back to the end of 24, one of the big goals was ramping up the YouTube channel, and things were very slow through most of the year, right? And then towards the end of the year, there was a change put in place, is what I'll say, and we saw a remarkable turn in activity, really started a focus of trying to spread the content and information, not only here on the podcast, but, you know, on the YouTube channel as well. So we had hoped for, I think it was like the very beginning of the year, really wanted to break into that 1,000 subscriber count, which is like nothing, but it was, you know, I'm big on benchmarking, I'm big on goals and trying to set, you know, this thousand, whatever. And yeah, January, that was a big win, was that I think it was like 5 or 6 days into the year, right? So just a little bit late, broke 1,000. So big success, obviously a very strong step in what I'll say was the right direction at the time. There was a lot of work and focus and planning put into trying to set up like a good structure for that. You know, hey, we identify what cadence to release videos at, shorts, things like that, what kind of topics we want to cover, what things are popular, what we want to do, what we want to stay away from. Because I think if you guys look at the community as a whole, especially from a content perspective, what kind of information is put out, what kind of discussions are being had, there's certain things that, you know, are good, right? I mean, good in terms of like, A, people will respond to it, but B, it are things that should be put out there, and then there's stuff that's bad, right? Like, so I don't want to, you know, one of the things that I always try to be upfront with is this is an endeavor to spread information and knowledge and learning. Specifically, like, hey, I learned this, I'm going to share it with you. I'm not telling you one way or the other, right? I'm just telling you this is what I've learned and this is my recommendation. I'm not trying to rag on anybody when I say this, but I know there are channels out there that sustain themselves and have a pretty decent following in all respects, greater than mine, off of just reviewing and promoting any single piece of shit product, right, that gets sent to them. And they'll talk about how it's, you know, how it's amazing, how it's a value for the dollar because it's so much cheaper, and how it's better than insert name brand optic company or firearms company or whatever, without adequate testing, without adequate reputation behind it and things like that. And certainly you do have those kinds of products and things like that pop up here and again, where they kind of revolutionize the market. You know, when HoloSun really started making their big push, that was a big deal because it had kind of been seen largely as a budget airsoft style or airsoft brand optic, up to a point when all of a sudden their pistol optics started showing up, and it's like, wow, these guys aren't a joke, man. Like, this is actually pretty good. And, you know, here we are now, where HoloSun in many ways is setting the curve in the pistol optics market. So not to say that that's never going to be something that happens, where you have a budget brand or a more budget brand or an unknown brand come in and make a splash and be an actual reliable option. But I really want to make sure that I'm not doing that kind of, hey, I'll just push whatever piece of crap somebody sends me for free. I've had stuff sent to me where people offer to send me stuff. I actually decline it. And it's usually just a very polite, like, no, thank you, I don't think that would resonate well with our audience. And some of the gear I buy myself, because it's things that, like, hey, I think that this matters. I think that this is stuff I want to talk about. And, you know, trying to focus the lens, right, of what we're bringing forward and why we're bringing it forward, right? Being purposeful. Because there's a lot of channels out there, man. And I've certainly done it a couple times, I'm sure, without trying to, where you just create content for the sake of content. You're just trying to create discussion for the sake of it. And a lot of that's chasing the algorithm. Like, that's the reality. You know, you're trying to stay engaged. Unfortunately, you have really, really good folks out there putting out good information that can't get to eyes and ears of those of us that want it, because the people that control those platforms kind of stink. You know, and I think it's gotten a little bit better, but at the same time, not like a ton. You know, it really hasn't. So we're constantly chasing that engagement. But then February rolled around, and February, I remember a couple distinct things from February. I did go out to the range and do some like ammo testing and evaluation. It was a really cold day. It was like 23 or something out at the range. There's a video out there if you guys want to go check that out on the YouTube, and just see exactly how bad it was here in Michigan in February. We compared like some 55 grain, some 62 and some 77 OTM, on both the upper receiver that I got sent by American Defense Manufacturing. It's like a 13.9. I've turned like a GPR setup with a 1-6. And we had just put a new barrel on, my 16 inch gun. It was a SPR barrel on my M&P Sport 2. So SPR barrel from Ballistic Advantage, fluted, very much a thicker, heavier barrel, but more accuracy. And went out, tested those, did some discussion around that. It was absolutely, actually kind of a fun morning, but it was very cold. And at the range that we have a membership at, the concrete pad under the overhang, I guess concrete pad, that's the only word I really know for it, was completely ice down the entire length of the range, where it was easier to just walk in the snow and stay away from the concrete. And I don't know if there's a whole lot to even do about that. I think some people submitted some concerns to the club or the membership committee or whatever, the board. I don't know if anything's ever actually done about it. The shitty part about that one, I remember, is that they had like 20 cars set up, probably 200-300 yards away at their indoor range, where they do like their axe throwing or muzzle loader stuff, and they got crock pots and everything. It's all the old men hiding from their wives there. And that's not me just making fun of them. They've literally said that shit. Like in my member orientation, they say that. That's like how they try to get people interested in coming out to those winter events, is, you know, talking about the food they bring and all this stuff, and, you know, hiding from their wives because they're all in their late 40s and 50s and upward. And I think that speaks to a broader cultural issue that they have at that club, to a degree. And I don't know how to fix that, and I'm okay with the way things are. Hey, when you have like super safety issues like that, like I almost slipped, and if I had, I probably would have came down and smashed my teeth on one of the concrete stools that they had out there for the shooting benches. Obviously happy that didn't happen. In hindsight, we probably shouldn't have been out there that day, but it is what it is. Like, this is Michigan. We have to train and shoot in the cold. We just don't have any other, you know, other options. And actually going back a little bit to January, we did a night shoot on my buddy's property. That was really my first time getting night vision out in the, what I would say was the relatively extreme cold. It was 19 degrees when we got out there, and we had guys whose night vision didn't want to turn on right away. Mine included did not want to turn on right away. The pads in my helmet didn't really freeze, but they got hard just from, you know, me opening the hatch on my Jeep, and it was only open 3 to 5 minutes while I was getting all my stuff on. And those pads from the cold, because they're gel pads at the PGD helmet that I was running at the time, they're very comfortable, but when it's cold, they get hard. So you had to like force it onto your head, let the body heat that escapes through the top of your noggin heat those things up. And once it settled in, it was fine. But shooting out in 19 degree weather, it turned my energy drink to a slushy. You know, it was fucking cold out there. Cool experience. We did, the one guy that owns the property brought out like a giant space heater with his tractor. So that was nice of him, because it was propane powered. And we kind of just saw very quickly those who are out there to just fuck around and the guys that were there to actually shoot and do stuff. Cause there's about five of us, maybe, five or six of us that were out there to shoot. And then there were like three or four, maybe, I would say, that didn't have the right clothing on. We're just bitching about being cold the whole time. Hey, well, can we go inside and get the pizza now? And like, okay, cool. So, I mean, that shit happens. You're going to have those guys in every group. And I'm not throwing a ton of shade. I'm just saying, like, don't be that fucking guy. But anyways, February. So the other thing in February was a drastic adjustment back to PMP becoming a one-man show. So it became evident at that time that there needed to be some reorganization, things that needed to go on to, I think, ensure long-term focus, and certainly, you know, just a realignment. You know, Josh and John are great dudes, still friends with them. Just had to make a change here for my long-term success, and it is what it is. You know, that's not something that I took lightly or did easily. But when you run a business, right, there are certain things that have to be done, and that was just one of them. It was actually a really, really difficult decision for me, and caused me a lot of, I'll say, stress and anxiety. It was a very difficult thing to do. But as I think we get, as I get into some of the things that have happened later on through the year, it was, you know, probably the best decision all around for long-term growth, you know, over the next several months, 10 months here. And, you know, certainly they have stuff going on. I do still talk to both of those guys. I would say we're still friends and everything. It just was a realignment and a change. You know, that was the first. I've had a couple other partners. You guys have been listening since the beginning, you know, like Sam came and went. And then, you know, it's the changes. It's the evolution of what you get when you try to build a business and build a brand or I mean, whatever you want to call it, right? That's not to say that it didn't really fucking suck. So, you know, moving forward over the next couple months, we got into March and April. Did have an opportunity to try and start some radio training. You know, had the guys over at the house here. Sat down, had one of our buddies, who's by all means, I would say, like a technical wizard of sorts. His name's David, National Guard dude, works for a local PD, working in like the IT space there. So he is smart in ways which my smooth reptile brain cannot comprehend. He helped us get like ATAC set up on several of our devices, figured out, hey, let's run it through a VPN and do it this way. Like literally, I think went as far as creating step-by-step instructions. And then we got on like a Zoom call together and did it all and set it up. And like, it was kind of fucking wild. Like, and that's something I'm sure some of you guys listening, would probably find that to be the most like mind-numbing subject in the world. But here's the reality too, is that having appropriate communications, ability is a extremely valuable skill set and one that very, very few people chase and possess, even at a fundamental and functional level. One of the big changes for me in that time was that, you know, after David went through and explained a lot of this stuff, I actually moved away from the budget Baofeng that I was using. I moved to a different Baofeng, which is still budget in the terms of the comm space. But when we talk about the UV5R, which is the go-to radio, because it's like $20 or $25, everybody runs one, everyone has one because they're cheap, they're accessible. Good and bad accessories are all over the market for them. So when I say good, I mean reliable. And when I say bad, I mean basically not reliable. You can buy all kinds of radios and antennas for the radios. A lot of them have been debunked online. You can see people slice them open with like box cutters and razor knives and shit. And you find that it's just a tape measure that's just wrapped in like some shrink wrap or some heat wrap or something. And that's why it doesn't work well as an antenna, because the quality of the components is just total and complete garbage. Now, that said, you can still find some pretty good ones. And I certainly shout out to Cattail Antennas. If you guys haven't checked into them, they're actually a Michigan-based business. The dude's not very far from me at all. Will's been on the podcast a couple times, or once, I think. He's been on once. I should catch up with him, actually. Because I've been talking to the dude for a while now, and like, yeah, let's hit the range soon, man. And it just hasn't worked out yet. But those wearable antennas, man, they are next level. They are super legit and not very expensive, especially if you saved a bunch of money getting, you know, your radio. So I moved from the UV5R to the UV9G. And that was based off David's recommendation after looking up some things. But here's the two big points for me on why I moved, because a lot of people don't want to spend more money on their comms. And actually, if you're not working on comms, if you're not running with a team of guys, you don't have friends that are doing the whole comms thing and stuff, they don't have the headset or whatever, you shouldn't invest in it. Like, you can scan with any UV5R. You can scan the radio waves. In times of emergency, it's actually legal for you to transmit. But if you're not running comms of the team, I would say it's probably not a priority to invest in because you're never going to use it, right? I mean, that makes sense. Don't waste money on gear, especially prohibitively expensive gear, when you're not actually going to have the opportunity to use it, to train with it, to learn with it, to get better. And certainly I've taken a couple classes with Lindsay Dew of LKD Communications and Orion Training Group. She does a fantastic job with those classes over Zoom. But if you're not out and doing the practical piece of it, right, the practicing the actual use and application of it, it's something that would caution you on spending, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars on when you won't. It's like, hey, I'm going to go spend $5,000 on this rifle, but then never shoot it. That's just something I would never recommend, right? So I moved to the 9G because the biggest thing for me hardware-wise was the connector with the Baofeng, and Lindsay's actually the one that like brought me into the loop on this, is that two-pin Baofeng connector is just not very good. I think it's a Kenwood-style connector is what she called it. They come loose. They don't stay. It's like a tight. There's not really a great way to tightly affix them. So if it's just sitting still, it's probably fine. However, in your kit, as it's getting jostled around, as you're walking, running, shooting, you know, crawling on the ground, that plug can come loose ever so slightly, and it creates a little bit of a disconnection, and you have issues with your push to talk and other things because you just don't have that consistent pressure that's required there. Originally, I thought that I had issues with the push to talk that I purchased because of this. Turns out the push to talk, and you know, people, oh well, it's because you didn't buy the Disco 32 push to talk. No, I bought a push to talk from Defense Distributors that works perfectly fine. What I found is that you actually have to put a Ranger band around that connector and the Baofeng itself to keep that connection tight and secure, and then those issues go away. I thought it was due to like water or something getting in there. It didn't even rain that day. So, I would poo-poo on people saying that it's a waterproofing issue, although a lot of those units are not waterproof, and it's something where I would say, hey, if you're going to bring a spare unit, if you're going to bring spare batteries, just seal them in a Ziploc or something where you know it's going to be dry and well-preserved. Just because you don't want water getting into any of your sensitive electronics in any way, shape, or form. So, not to say that you shouldn't go buy from Disco 32. I have two other push-to-talks. I went out and bought a new one when I switched to the UV9G, which uses the Motorola-style connector. And I'm sure a lot of you guys who've looked into comms, a lot of people are recommending the Motorola radios. They are pretty expensive, even for like used ones. The ones that are affordable you can find are usually restricted to like the emergency broadcast bands that we can't transmit on as civilians anyway, so they're not really that useful to us. But the 9G is a GMRS radio, and some of the benefits that is, yes, the Motorola connector is much more robust, much more secure. Additionally, GMRS does not require that you take a test to get the license. So I already have my technician's license for ham radio so that I could transmit on, you know, my UV5R. None of my friends and buddies ever did that. And, we'll just stay on the, like, basically the free frequencies that the family radio service, the FRS frequencies that anybody can. And it's like, okay, well, for ComSec, which, you know, everybody likes to talk about ComSec and, oh, mission security and, you know, communication security, I do, you know, OPSEC and everything. It's like, okay, cool. But then you're not willing to go study up for like a week and a half to be able to take this test to get your license, which then you never have to take the test again. You just have to renew every 10 years for like $10. So it just shows the level of commitment on the communication side of things. And if you don't want to take the test, GMRS is convenient. It's not the perfect solution. Obviously, everyone would do it. It's not the silver bullet. But in terms of getting people to buy in, you can just go purchase the license online, understand the restrictions to it. That's your responsibility as the end user. But it's, again, you can purchase the license. You got it for like 10 years. And then as long as you adhere to those rules, you're good to go. Which is already, you know, people go, oh, well, it's publicly accessible, then, you know, people are going to be able to listen. I'm like, they can listen on anything, right? Even encryption isn't the silver bullet everyone likes to talk about. So, you know, without getting too much further into that, that was a kind of an early year struggle that never really took off to anything, but I am trying to actively push my friends to, because I think that it makes more sense if you're trying to pursue real communications. Moving on, we get to May, and once again, we were... fortunate, that's the word, damn it. We were fortunate enough to have Jared and Jason from Orion Training Group come up here to host a 2-day class. They were up in they were up in Indiana doing a SWAT school the week prior, and then they left directly from us to go teach, I don't know if it was a class or a shortened SWAT school, I think it was a class, for local PD up here at the lab in Michigan, which unfortunately is not yet open to civilian training classes, hopefully in the future, because by all means, it does seem like it would be a great facility to be able to offer CQB, structure clearance, team-based clearance classes, and things like that, if and when they're able to start accepting open enrollment courses there. But having Jared and Jason in, it was a hugely successful endeavor. I think originally the class was opened to 20 individuals, and they had people call and get added. I think we had like 24 in the class. Like, it was a lot for a 2-day class. It was a lot of interest. The year previous, right, in 24, we had a 3-day class up here. And, you know, I love learning from those guys. I can't say enough good things about basically everyone that I have interacted with Orion Training Group. The cadre are all very, very just, you know, incredible individuals and talented educators with a deep passion for the subject matter. Very willing to have the discussions, you know, during classes. They don't just take off and hide from the students. So they are there to have the discussions, share the story, share the information, even on things that some people may consider to be, you know, silly or stupid stuff. You know, they, I'll say they entertain a lot of it. I know at one point we had a guy in class, Luke, who was from the other side of the state, and him and Jared spent a whole lunch period just like diagramming stuff on the whiteboard and understanding, hey, this is how my team does this stuff and how they solve these issues. Like, can you show me how we would go about this? Cause we haven't talked about it yet or something, or I don't know if we'll get into it. And Jared was more than happy to do that, you know, and Jason was around as well doing the same thing with some guys. The class was a great mix of, like, we had National Guard dudes in there. I think we had one, maybe Marine Reservist, I'm not sure. We had law enforcement from like Illinois, from the Chicago area that came up. We had law enforcement from other areas that were involved. I think Northern Ohio, one guy came up, as well as guys from Northern Michigan that came down and stuff, because it's just, you know, the opportunity for training here in Michigan is so low in terms of that kind of information, that level of instruction. And certainly I count that as a huge, huge success, being able to put that stuff together. Unfortunately, I don't think for 2026 we're going to be able to put anything together in that regard. You know, and that's something I'll get into later in the year, but I mentioned this in a previous podcast, is I think we may be losing the relationship with the facility there that we use for those two classes, just due to the introduction of a different training company and some, I'll say, some unprofessional conduct is what I'll leave that at, that has just basically driven most of us that were regulars there to leave and search out a different solution. And that may change. We still have that, you know, good relationship with the ownership team. Just trying to sort through some of that stuff in a way that's going to be the most positive outcome for all of us, that are involved, and avoid any, unnecessary conflict or friction or drama, you know, which sucks, but it's the reality. But yeah, so I don't know if OTG is going to be making it up to Michigan this year, although, it may not be Jared or Jason, but might reach out to, Blake Flannery. We, got an opportunity to connect with him later in the year, which I'll talk about in a second, but might be able to do something like that. So in June, you know, I don't want to just like talk about gear purchases, but, it was a big gear year or gear month for me, I guess. I did purchase a new helmet. Some of you guys look at some of the helmets out there in the market, right? And I'm only going to mention this because it's a significant deal for a lot of people. And people look at like OpsCore and the high end Team Wendy stuff, and they go, man, who's going to spend $1,200, $1,600, $1,800 on a helmet or more, right? Like, I think the new Team Wendy Rifle Tech helmet is like $3,400 because it's rifle rated and it's heavy, right? But I purchased out of my own pocket a Galvian Cayman ballistic helmet. Purchased through the team over at Custom Night Vision, FYI. So, if anybody does make the broad assumption that, you know, they just send me everything for free, that's not true. I paid $1,600 to buy, the Cayman helmet. And, that was a huge investment for me, because up to that point, I'd just been running a Team Wendy bump and then was messing around with a ARC Gen 3 from Protection Group Denmark. Nothing but great things to say about PGD, but I wanted a lighter weight helmet. And some of these legacy helmets, some of these older ballistic helmets, they're around 3 pounds or just over 3 pounds. And this Cayman got me just under 2 pounds. So it's a good weight savings, and it helps with the stress on the neck and everything. And the comfort on it, I will say, is it's pretty next level. I do really like the pads that Galvion has in their helmet. The only thing I didn't really care for or don't care for is kind of their ratcheting boa system. Just kind of hard for me to get my big ass hands on. And I mean, that's really it, though. You know, I think past that, it's extremely comfortable. They're hard to get. I will say that they are hard to get, and it shows that the brand is in demand. I know Galvion this year won, I think, two big contracts, I think for FBI and for, there was another one, I think. They won two big U.S. contracts, so their stuff's in high demand, and I'm sure that's why you're seeing the commercial market kind of suffer in terms of access to their products. I think one side I looked at had, like, oh, pre-order, you know, 18 months or something. I'm like, I am not waiting a year and a half. So luckily it was like just, you know, clear out stock that Custom had. And, you know, because they're trying to, you know, clear that stuff out, they had a discounted price. And because I have a huge noggin, I needed like a size XL. I got a better price. I think it was like $1,600. A lot of other places had around like 18 or something. But that was also, June's also the month that I had a new upper put together. So I've been running an 11 and a half inch with, you know, a Roscoe barrel, Palmetto upper receiver. You know, that was the quad rail upper that I've been running for the last several years. And, just kind of decided it was time, you know, let's throw a little bit of money into this. And, I went with a BCM Blem upper receiver with another 11 and a half inch Roscoe bloodline barrel. And then did a Geisley Mark 16 handguard on it, then just transplanted over. My wife got me for our anniversary, which is in May. She got me the Geisley Airborne charging handle. I transferred over the Bootleg Industries adjustable bolt carrier group that I'd been running, and I've been playing with that since then. Great upper. I really do like the lighter weight on the M-Lock handguard. It just looks absolutely sick. So June was a good month for me in terms of, you know, new gear and new stuff. It was also, my vacation. I think, we went to Florida for a week. I got to take a break away from podcast and industry drama and, spend time living it up on the beach, in Destin, Florida with my wife and her whole side of the family. Which was incredible. Got to build some tremendous relationships with family that we don't get to see very often. Talked to some family members that were former service and stuff like that. So it was cool. It was a really good opportunity to get away and shake things up and change things up. And, you know, hope we get to do something like that again. Maybe not Florida, because it was like high. It was like mid to high 90s. I actually came home, and the day I got home, I actually went to John's house for his wife's birthday. They had a barbecue, and that on the way home, I started getting like chills and sweats, and I'm like, damn, what's going on? And I got like heat stroke or whatever. I don't know. And that was a couple days of recovering because I just didn't do a good job hydrating on the trip, other than beer. And you know, I guess it was just that. Just prolonged exposure to the heat that really did me in. So, but yeah, July, moving forward, July, we did a range day for half the day for my brother and I's birthday. Got a handful of the homies out. Really good opportunity to just run some drills, hang out. Shane from Terrace Unity Solutions, who's also been on the pod, he came out and hung out with us. Joe and Evan were there. This was right before they really started stepping away and focusing on getting their gun shop open. It was a really fun range day up until we had the board president stop by. So I spoke about the range earlier in this discussion here. And the board is not... they're not bad people, right? I just disagree with some of the stuff that they do at the club. And while I don't think that they listen to this podcast, I'm sure some members do. And I think everyone would agree that there's probably some changes needed. But essentially, like somebody had decked their rifle. They just laid it on the ground with the barrel pointed towards the berm because we were running pistol drills. And the board president came out because they had just had, I think, like a class or something or... what the fuck do you call it? Like first day shit, for new members, whatever. And, he came around, and apparently the range that we were on is the one that people always like to go fuck around and do stupid shit on. I did not know that. It was just a longer, wider range than some of the other ones. So we had like 9 guys with us that day, so we wanted to have the space available, right? And the board president kind of had a fit about, oh, because the rifle was, there was a magazine in the rifle. And we already have this kind of weird rule where you can't run backwards on the range with a loaded gun. So as you're running drills and stuff, it makes it really difficult if you're not supposed to run backwards. So you kind of have to work everything from far to near instead of near to far and things like that, at least with a loaded weapon. So we've done some stuff where, like, hey, you know, on the timer, draw your handgun and engage target, holster, sprint backwards, and then when you get to the gun that's, you know, waiting, that's further away, you can load it up and rack it and then, you know, engage those targets. We've kind of found a couple creative ways to work around it, albeit not necessarily the most commonsensical. I know Shane and he had some conversation. Everything was fine. It just kind of put a real damper on the day based off of, I guess, we had a member shoot his wife accidentally underneath the overhang at that range 3 weeks ago or something like that. And, you know, and again, he was basically just enforcing some rules that weren't really rules of the range. It's just stuff he wanted to see because he was hypersensitive to the incident, which I understand. But at the same time, we pay membership dues and there's supposed to be set rules that have to be voted on. So I find that to be a little bit of an overstep by the board when they're trying to force us to abide by rules that don't exist based off their own personal biases and judgment. And I'm not saying anything against having safety, you know, and I do appreciate the club and all the work that the board does. But we went to a meeting at the end of last year, and the first thing that was said, you know, was, how do we get younger? How do we grow all of these divisions and events? And they refuse to do things that are going to bring in younger people. They won't host or allow courses and classes to be hosted at the range, despite having a great facility for it, due to apparently people in the past not following rules of the range, which I don't understand, and they can't or won't cite specific resources or sources on that. I'm sorry. And then the one company that they do let continue to run classes there basically won't, because they don't like dealing with the board. So it just overall, I think, needs an overhaul of what they're doing there. Again, they do a lot of good stuff. And if you're in Southeast Michigan, you know, it's the one place everybody does go, and certainly a place I'll continue to frequent. It's just a little bit frustrating as somebody trying to, you know, go out there, train, shoot, do the right things and do them safely, when you kind of have that scrutiny and oversight that's a little bit unnecessary. So, you know, it is what it is. Kind of ruined it. I mean, I also came home that day. I'd be home by a certain time. My wife surprised me. Hey, we're going to go down to Toledo and try and go catch a Mud Hens game. And I was like, oh my God, finally, I've always wanted to go and go see them. And then that got rained out. So kind of a damp, literally damper on the birthday, but still cool. And then, you know, jumping ahead, here's the thing. There's always like 1 month or a couple months where I'm like, I know stuff was going on, but I couldn't for the life of me tell you what the fuck it was. That's where August falls in my mind, because I don't have anything in particular that I could really call out or reference or point to and say, this is what happened in August. Might have been some range stuff. I think I went out and, you know, maybe some zeroing or stuff like that, really. But nothing remarkable to speak on. No, we did get into September. I did mention a minute ago, or several minutes ago at this point, Blake Flannery. So Blake is one of the cadre members of Orion Training Group. He also runs Maneuver Training Solutions, Force Recon Marine for 20 years, and has been a guest on this podcast two or three times. But in the last several years, we've gone to the HTA charity event out at Ben Franklin Range in Pennsylvania. And if you guys are looking to host a class in the Midwest, Ben Franklin Range is, I would say, definitely the place you need to look into. Ryan, the owner, has been on the podcast and is a friend. The charity event was canceled this year due to some complications around the event and having to do with the event and you know, the coordination of the event and everything. So we still were able to get in touch with Blake and basically have our group still make the trip out to Pennsylvania, and we're able to utilize the weekend, so we didn't lose our money on our Airbnb. Went up, spent a day and a half doing structure clearance work with Blake, learning from him. We had a couple guys in the group at least one who has never done structure clearance. It was a tremendous day and a half. Had Blake out at the house the day before, grilled up some absolutely massive steaks. So shout out to Steve for that, and his grill work is always appreciated. Then we did steak and lobster tail, actually. That was insane for a guy's trip. But got to spend the weekend out in Pennsylvania, which has become like a, a bit of a tradition at this point. Might not be Pennsylvania next year. We're kind of reevaluating where we might want to go and what we might want to do and stuff. Maybe explore some other venues and avenues and things. So, really cool opportunity. Blake was an outstanding instructor. His perspective, it was really, really awesome. You know, cause we'd learned a lot of stuff, or I've learned a lot from Jared, and Jason and then, and Joe, right, in the classes I had been through. But then getting Blake's take on that stuff where there's a ton of overlap, obviously, but then a couple just subtle differences around like hallways and intersections where it's like, oh, okay. So a little bit different, but I understand like what it adds, the nonverbal side of some things, how this can maybe remove some complication from that. Really just when you go out of your way to try and find a different perspective and learn a different way of doing things than what you have, like it's a really, really cool opportunity. And Blake is a fascinating guy, likes Lord of the Rings and all that stuff. So it was cool getting to hang out with him. We went out and did some dinner after Saturday night. That was awesome. I think they're like mozzarella bombs at whatever restaurant I ordered. Those things were amazing. And I still think about them. But moving into October, right? So we're getting towards the end of the year. The big thing for me there was, I got into a compensator, right? Started working with Harrington Arms. My first time really checking out, spending time with a compensator. And here's the thing with that is it's not that I'm saying you need a compensator or don't need a compensator. I think that there's an awful lot of stigma and like weird bias around running a compensator on your handgun from people who listened to dudes 10 years ago tell you that it will, impact your reliability. You have to run a lightened recoil spring. You have to run hot ammo or premium ammo or it won't cycle. Don't run a compensator because it's not gonna, the gun's gonna be less reliable that way. And I think we've had enough time, development, testing, and breakthroughs in firearms technology that we're past a lot of that. Now, I'm not saying it's completely a non-issue because the V2 of the 95 or the HC95 that Harrington sent me, the second version had like an 8% increase. That one I could not get to lock back with my Glock 45, but the version one that I had, which is only a 30% recoil reduction, is what they quote, that one I had no problems with. So that's where I'm running on my gun right now and haven't had any reliability issues with that. But why I'm doing this is just so I can come from a point and perspective of experience and some modicum of education, right? So when people say, hey, should I run comps on my gun? You know, I would say, well, in my experience, this is what I've found to be helpful. And it's less a deal than I think it used to be. Now you're seeing like Staccatos and 2011s and stuff, and M&Ps, right? Where they're actually building porting and compensation into the slides from the factory, the performance center models for M&P and stuff like this, where it's becoming far less taboo to do that kind of thing with your handgun. And instead it's starting to be embraced because we're starting to figure out the reliability side on this stuff. We're starting to figure out, hey, how far can we push this before it's gone too far and we lose that reliability to performance ratio that we really want to maintain. So that was a big educational step for me and still kind of going through it to a degree with that, but I'm enjoying it so far. The other thing that happened in October is I got a new laser, the Raid XE from Wilcox. And for some of you guys, you know, lasers don't matter because you don't run nods, and that's totally fine. But for night vision, it's become, the last year or two has really become the year of, or years of the laser. And you know, particularly, I'll say, well, we've seen a spike in the number of high-powered Chinese lasers that have hit the market that have really excited people. Certainly, the Holosun Iris finally coming out has been a big step because it's a sub-$1,000 unit that performs the way that, you know, $2,000 plus units had been performing with the, you know, the V-cell technology and everything. But finally getting my hands on a Raid XE, thanks to the folks over at Custom Night Vision. You know, the performance, the just everything about that unit, you know, the reliability is outstanding. The room illuminator, it's like a 40 degree room illuminator paired with the long distance illuminator on that is incredible. And kind of led me to have to like rework how I set up my light laser combination with pressure pads and things like that. I borrowed my setup concept from Blake, running a like reverse Unity Axon switch for my light and then choosing the fire button on the laser module itself. And it's worked out pretty well for me. On, you know, albeit on an 11.5-inch gun, I wish the gun was a little bit longer just so I wasn't such a compact setup, but the laser unit itself works fantastic. I have really, really enjoyed using it, and you know, I think, you know, when we look at your value to performance ratio, you know, how much money, right? How much money you spend for what you get with lasers. When you look at units like the Raid, the Maul, to an extent, some of the PEC units and stuff, like, you do get what you pay for. That's not to say that you can't get good performance out of stuff like the Laser Speed M6TR, the D-Ball units that have been around forever and are still reliable. They've been used by militaries and law enforcement around the world. Yes, even the A3 and the D2 that are civilian powered, right? Still used and relied upon by law enforcement units. And I would still recommend to people over some of the stuff like, you know, the SMS units that are really popular right now because of the cost, and the airsoft clones or replicas that, you know, have the Chinese powered laser, right? There's like the fucking Death Star, right, as a laser. But in terms of like reliability and holding zero, still leave a lot to be desired, right? But it's potted, it's filled with epoxy. Like, yeah, well, then how come the reviews coming out keep showing these things losing zero? You know, there's a lot of questions on the QC side there. And maybe it gets better, I don't know. But in terms of getting like a quote unquote like real laser, it's been a big game changer for me, and something that as I head into 2026, I expect to be able to do more content-wise with the laser units, and like compare, contrast, and understanding, and be able to share that information with you guys on how to best apply those. So that was what happened. They're the notable items for October for me anyways. And then November. You know, November was kind of the beginning of the end with our training facility, more towards the end of the month. We had a company, I'll keep names out of it, but they wanted to come up and check out what we do or had been doing on our Thursday training sessions, which then with ownership kind of turned into these recurring workshops, which is fine. We did go out a couple times and just utilize a different part of the facility for training. There's just a lot of, unfortunately, online discussion, stuff that I'll say was just very unprofessional, and got to a really untenable point. And led to the core group of us that have been out there for the last several months to, for me, it was like 19 months, you know, a year and a half plus, basically since, the first Orion class in 2024, you know, I've been out there trying to help share information and share what I learned, and basically have to take a step back now, reevaluate some things, try to maybe find someplace else to work and train because the friction there is just, it's too much right now. And it's just not something that I'm looking to deal with. I think that when we look at the training space and the community in general, you know, you have to be careful with some stuff. It's all well and good to say you want to throw down and just scream and bitch and argue with people over who's right and who's wrong. At some point, you just need to look at your mental health and go, is this shit really fucking worth it? You know what I mean? Like, And for me, I have enough going on right now where I'm like, you know what? I have to take a step back somewhere. I have to reduce stress and drama somewhere. And clearly, you know, my name kept getting attached to some of these discussions because I was apparently the leader of the group of people who had been there working. And, you know, whatever, I helped coordinate the sessions. I wouldn't call myself an instructor. I actually did several episodes where I make sure I don't call myself an instructor and talk about how I don't want to be seen as that because I really am not that. But it sucks. It is a real blow for me personally and then for our group of, you know, individuals trying to, you know, train and get better and stuff. So that was like the back half of November, but it sucks, man, because when you realize how difficult training facilities are to find, especially for stuff like structure clearance, it really, really highlights, you know, when you're trying to move and find someplace else, not because you want to, but because you have to. It just shows you how difficult it is. And, you know, we had a buddy offer up a factory and we went and, you know, hung out there on Friday night this past weekend. And certainly contextually, it's a great example of what structure clearance would be like. But in terms of a place to actually practice core fundamentals on, it's a little bit rough because, you know, there's just a lot of stuff in there. So the search continues. Maybe we go back and things go back to normal in a couple of weeks or something. I don't know. But it really was a sour note on how to end the year for me personally. And I actually had a lot of discussions and damage control and things like that bled into the week of Christmas, believe it or not, based off of things that other people said and then attached my name to. So, yeah, that's always really fucking fun when grown adults can't act like fucking grown adults. But then, yeah, so the last month of the year rolling into that, was, I think the biggest thing for me was, you know, I'll say being able to be an assistant instructor for the two vets development group class, with Kyle. And, I just, you know, coming out of him saying I'm not an instructor, this was my first opportunity to actually instruct, because he just needed some help and it asked me if I would be willing and interested, in participating. Excuse me. So spent 2 days doing a fundamentals of structure clearance or fundamentals of CQB class with Kyle. That was my first like legitimate instructional opportunity in the community here and something I really enjoyed. You know, I think as I shared a couple episodes back when I talked about it, I got some pretty good feedback from folks and that made me feel pretty good about what I was doing. You know, how I presented the information, how I conducted and composed myself there. Cause that stuff's really important. It's, you know, I've had really good, interactions with instructors at places like Ann Arbor Arms and with Orion Training Group and Core Vision and stuff. Where I want to make sure that I kind of emulate that energy, you know, guys that are just very chill, but also very driven and determined to help you succeed in the ways that you want to without doing some of the stuff that some of these bad training companies do, where they spend 30 minutes talking and have you do here, let's do this for 3 minutes. Now let's talk about it for 30 minutes and let's do another 3 minutes of stuff. Oh, now let's talk about it. And you have people who went the entire, you know, session or whatever, and they don't actually get anything done. They just got talked to a whole time, you know, or a whole lot, whatever. And there's a lot of companies that do that and a lot of companies that'll hide behind, you know, weak fundamentals and weak, poor articulation and stuff. And they don't connect well with the students. And I really wanted to make sure that I was able to support everything Kyle and Drew were doing as the instructors in my role as the AI. So, it was a really cool opportunity, something that I honestly, I don't know if I'm going to do it again. I think maybe I would like to, I think, you know, as long as it made sense, you know, I'm not going to go out there and go teach a long range rifle class or something. Cause that's not my wheelhouse, you know, and as a civilian who's never served in military and law enforcement, I think, you need to be careful, you know, hey, if you actually have knowledge to share and, you know, some kind of expertise to share with people, then cool. But if not, then, you know, kind of like, as much as I hate saying, stay in your lane, bro, stay in your lane, know where your expertise is. Cause this is stuff that could really, you know, end up, helping people or end up getting people killed in some instances. Right. So, that was probably one of the coolest things I've done this year and a really big opportunity for me individually to take a step forward and, kind of reaffirm where I sit on some things as an educator, having spent a lot of time, obviously teaching music and whatnot, and still dabbling a little bit in teaching music. There's a winter percussion group that I'm, you know, had worked with for the last several months and taken a step away from due to some issues with leadership there. And, you know, I went and spent some time Saturday working with them. I still don't know if that's something I'm going to commit to on any kind of regular basis, just because there's a lot going on, you know, even looking into the next several months here, like, hey, January SHOT Show, right? So at the, you know, maybe 3 weeks away at this point, be getting on a plane and heading to sunny Las Vegas for SHOT Show. I'll be there for 2 days. So if any of you guys listening to this are also going to be in attendance at SHOT Show, I'll be there for Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll also be there the Monday night before if anybody wants to connect prior to the show, which would be cool. but really, you know, really looking forward to making the connections, meeting people, putting faces to the names and stuff. You know, I mean, I've met a lot of these people through a computer screen, but I haven't had the opportunity to meet them in person. So guys like Walsh from Thin Line Defense, Nick over at Leopold, the guys over at Lead and Steel, right? There's a list of people I really want to make sure I make the time and connect with them while I'm there. But I also want to just try and enjoy SHOT Show for what it is and see the things that are there to be seen. So I got to work on that. My wife's going with me and is helping me put together the planning. She's stepping into a bit more of a administrative role with all this and has been for the last several months, really just, you know, from like video production stuff, from consultative and administrative duties, like all kinds of stuff. My wife's been absolutely great through all of this for the last 5.5 years. And you know, and I can't say enough about, you know, making sure you're spending time and money, right? Because those things usually go hand in hand on your family. You know, I try to make sure I do that for my wife. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then also, I think in Q1, it might be a little bit later in the year, but trying to get together with Christian from Core Vision to put together a primer class of sorts. And I think that might be a private course, but more to come on that, to be sure. and something I'd really look forward to learning more from him. He had come out to one of our Thursday sessions once. It was supposed to be a couple times when he had to like move for work and some, you know, adult shit got in the way, or real life stuff rather got in the way. So we just had Steve on from Core Vision, and I've had Kyle from Core Vision on, and certainly a training company that, you know, has a strong reputation for being some really, really squared away individuals and some good educators. So wanting to take the opportunities where possible, right, to get Christian involved with our group on this side of the state and everything. And, you know, hopefully we can make that happen. I know, like, trying to get people's schedules together is absolutely just fucking killing me, because some guys got, you know, orders for the military for the whole month of January, which is fine because it's cold as shit, whatever. And then, you know, oh, another guy's having a kid at the beginning of February, and somebody else wants to, you know, oh, we can't use these weekends in February because of whatever reason, you know, girlfriend's birthday or something. I don't fucking know. And that's fine. Everybody has shit going on. It's just really frustrating when you're trying to coordinate, you know, hey, what times and dates can we get the facility? What times and dates can we get the instructor? Are the primary two, but then you also got to like tiptoe around some people's schedules. And I shouldn't say tiptoe. It's just, it's the stress of coordinating all this stuff. And that's why people get, you know, people don't want to do it, because it's a lot of extra stress and a lot of work. In a lot of instances, I think it's probably one of the least celebrated things. So, but Q1 for sure, that's something I want to try and get on the books and set up for next year. And then overall through 2025, I just want to make sure I hit on some of the stuff. Like, I've had some fantastic conversations throughout the year with Brandon Bridge. You guys might know him as Nine Banger on Instagram. He's been a huge, I would say, mentor for me in terms of like learning and understanding some of the things around CQB. Jared from Orion Training Group, obviously, you know, I'm always able to reach out to one of those two guys when we have stuff come up in training, or when I have questions on this stuff, I can always reach out to them and say, hey, we had this thing pop up. We had this question come up. Like, how would you solve this problem? How would you address this? And they're willing to give me their time and energy and go, hey man, this is what I would do. This is what I would think, or here's what you can do. And when you have those relationships and resources, you know, or JT, right. At Sierra One on Instagram, JT's been on like 5 times on the pod. He's a fantastic dude and somebody I consider a genuine homie, who's been, you know, more than willing to share, you know, his knowledge and expertise both on and off the podcast. I have to make sure I, you know, say that much about him too. And I'm sure there's tons of people I talk with that I just, you know, it's great having the resources and contacts that I've built through the podcast. You know, it's a really cool thing. And certainly as we talk about everything that's gone into 2025, I have to say thank you to everyone who's been a guest throughout 2025. And I would make a list, but I would probably miss people and wouldn't do it justice. So I'll just say, if you were a guest in 2025, thank you. I appreciate you. And I know the guests and the audience appreciates all of the guests and the time and energy and work and discussions that have gone into all of that throughout the year. And it almost seems a little bit surreal looking back on it now. You know, I got to sit down with Chris Costa this year. That was fucking outstanding. You know, he's kind of one of the OGs in the community that I've looked to for inspiration and stuff since day one. You know, so that was like a little bit of a bucket list, you know, thing to check off, you know, talking to Chris Costa about stuff. But 2025 been a big year for me in a lot of ways, a lot of successes. I'll say a lot of failures. And I'll say if I took one thing away from this year, it was just a big year of clarity. You know, I had a lot of moments where I had some strong realizations that the people that you had always believed and hoped were in your corner were maybe not, you know, and that's not directed at anyone in particular. You kind of learn what you have to do to depend on yourself and where you can depend on other people and where you can't. You know, like, there's just certain things where in all walks of life, right, where if people want to, you know, some people will always be the ones that say they're there to help you and then never really actually show up, that kind of thing. And then there's some folks that, you know, like, you can count on people for some things, and in other regards, like, you always have to have backup plans, because you'll always have those people that just, they perpetually back out at the last minute or perpetually are too busy when you need them, but will always, you know, say that, hey, if you ever need anything, let me know. That kind of thing. That's, again, it's not a dig. It's not aimed at anyone in particular, but it's just clarity around understanding how much support you do or don't have. And that's not even necessarily just the podcast or any of this bullshit. I'm saying like life, man, like life in general. There's some people who, you know, were willing to answer the phone calls at the right times for me. And then there were people that responded to messages with, hey man, I'm too busy for a phone call today, and didn't even ask if there's another time we could do it. So while they were may have been tremendous people in some regards for me this year, they were awful people for me in other regards. And that's not saying they're good or bad people. I'm just saying you have to know who's really there for you. And I think that's a small list for all of us, you know. And that's why I say, hey, take care of your wife and spouse, and then the homies that are close to you, the ones that have been there through the good and the bad and all the other tough stuff, like who've really been there, you know what I mean? Take care of those folks. And that's, and however that, or whatever that means to you, however you have to or want to do that, like, you know, just take care of those folks, because finding people like that is not the easiest thing. It's actually very difficult. And I've struggled with that kind of stuff. You know, I've always been a people pleaser, and it's led me to making some bad decisions. But I do try to, first and foremost, take care of the people who have taken care of me. And that's something that's going to continue. That's just who I am. Cause I think when you do that, you show people they matter to you, they will hopefully, you know, respond in kind. But yeah, I mean, 2025, man, hard to believe we're putting this one in the books. I look forward to everything going on for 2026, and a lot of stuff planned, So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a listener. Honestly, you know, it's cool as we look at the numbers, as we look at how things have continued to grow throughout the year, where we've had the most growth with the YouTube channel, breaking 4,000 subscribers, actually just in the last day or so. And then, just the positive, you know, affirmation or reaffirmation from people, hey, what you're doing is good. You know, you're always gonna have naysayers, but, all that stuff. So that's the year in review, man. I love to just sit here and say thank you guys, cause it's so cool that people have actually decided they want to listen to me for as long as they have, especially throughout the year. But that's all I got for 2025, you guys. We'll have another exciting episode and discussion next year. I can finally make those corny jokes. We'll catch you guys all next year. Until then, stay safe, stay warm, enjoy the New Year's festivities safely. Please don't drink and drive, you guys. I'd hate to find out that anybody didn't make it back for the next episode because of some just poor choices, truly. So enjoy the New Year's festivities. Stay safe. Stay warm. I don't know. I think I want to do it. God, I don't fucking know what I'm even doing. We'll catch you guys in 2026. Like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.